Did you know that in 1973, the first cell phone call was ever made?
In America? Were we the first?
Yeah, in New York.
Wow.
His invention, a brick-sized device, became the first cell phone available to the general public.
Well, there is your fun fact of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Off the Field Podcast. What were you on right now? What were you looking at?
I was looking up general interesting facts for 73. 1973 to be exact, because this is episode 73.
Correct. Episode 73. I just landed from a flight about an hour 30 minutes ago.
I just got back from Dutch Bros and I brought Austin a little something.
Yes. Oh. I'm going to be going out of my mind. I've already had a Zip Fizz this morning when I woke up in Colorado. That's where I was.
Right on.
Then a few hours later, I had a Dutch Bros. Because we passed one on the way to the airport.
Oh, my God.
And then I was midway through another Zip Fizz when Mobo got here. And then he brought Dutch Bros. And I told him I'm very appreciative of it. But I was deciding if I'd drink it now or later. I'm going to be cracked out of my mind.
You know what? That's okay, though, because you can crank out more videos or edit even faster.
Hopefully. Because I don't know. Well, I do have a video for tomorrow, but I don't want to post back-to-back rid of the shows. And the plan is to get the Rockies game out.
Right on. Well, first of all, welcome back. What'd you fly on the way there and on the way here?
Frontier both ways.
Right on.
The flight was cheap. It was only like $100.
Beautiful.
But, you know, you pay a price. You want it to stay that price.
Yeah.
And that's what I paid off the bat about a month ago, 2 months ago. And I was flying home. And this bag that I use for a personal item, pretty much every flight I get on, was finally stopped. And I was charged. Through Denver employees at Frontier. So screw Denver Frontier. It was $100 to upgrade from personal item to carry-on.
Ouch.
Not a fan of that at all. Yeah.
Did they stop you like well before the gate, right at the gate?
There were two people checking. Mobo knows the setup. He used to be a airport employee.
Specifically speaking, I actually did work for Frontier for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm well aware if you ever flew out of the Orange County area, I probably charge.
If I ever brought a bigger bag and you were working, would you let me go?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Okay.
I've done that to people. We do that to our own coworkers.
Yeah,
One of our coworkers went to Miami off of a connection in Denver, and we waved our bags.
You know why? Because these big companies, at the end of the day, they don't care about you. They care about their big company.
We're not making money off of the times they charge. That's another thing, too. I've found out after I left the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, people think that the gate agents charging you for your bag are making money off of that.
No.
Or making some kind of commission. We're not.
I didn't think that.
Not at all. There's some people out there that are like, you make money off of this shit? And it's like, no, bro. If I was flying in the same circumstances as you, I would follow the rules. It's not hard.
Yeah.
But to be fair, yours is a toss-up. It just so happens that in Denver, specifically speaking Frontier, they're very strict.
There. I was literally told by the group I was traveling, I know this bag is big. This bag is so big to the point where I've put it under the seat before, and it got like stuck. And I was like having to yank to get it out, and the seat kind of went like this.
Could not be me. So, dude, I'd be so pissed.
It's at least gone through 15 flights as a personal item.
Damn.
And it's a decent-sized bag.
Whoever's letting you go is blessing you, my brother.
But the group I was with told me, they're like, they're going to get you in Denver. And I don't know how they all knew that, like, Denver was, like, the spot to where they just stop people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were right. They got me in Denver, $100 for a bag upgrade.
Damn.
Ridiculous. And was, honestly, a bittersweet ending to our trip.
Well, it sounds like you had a beautiful trip. I mean, on your Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You can go follow him there if you guys aren't already.
Yeah, it's always in the description, along with Mobo's.
The weather looked awesome. I know you're telling me it was a little hot over there. Granted, I mean, I think everywhere in the U.S. was hot this
week. Of course. Well, before we get into this big trip,
I
want to play this because I always forget, and I'm not forgetting.
Don't forget it.
Not going to happen if it... There.
Still don't know it.
Feel Podcast. Here we go. With Spidey and Mobo, we run the show. Mosh pits to the home runs. Join the fun.
You had it! What are you
going to do?
I was going to do that.
I wanted to see if you could finish it by yourself.
I'm like, you know what? I'm at that point like in Guitar Hero where you're like failing so bad you almost lose it, but you just brought it back. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. And before, because I'm going to dive fully into this Colorado trip, I'm not going to shut up for this episode.
Yeah.
So I just want to catch up with you a tiny bit. We talked about you and your whole trip in Mexico, but you are back now. We are both back now. And we know what you were doing out there. You can go listen to episode 72. But overall, how was the trip?
Beautiful. I think, you know what? It was beautiful, but there, you know how they say there's always beauty in chaos?
Yes.
This trip was unfortunately very chaotic. People got on people's nerves, which I feel like is granted when you whenever you travel with, let's say, like five people plus.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd say like three plus.
Okay.
Actually, no, like four.
A little more specific, but nevertheless. It was cool, although there was mishaps. So day two, my cousin, when we had visited the pyramids, he somehow took off his he took out his phone in the bathroom and left it.
Why?
His pants were falling. And he's like, oh, dude, no, it's because I took it out for a second. And we all kind of looked at him like, you dumbass.
Yeah.
Why'd you take it out? But, I mean, we felt for him. But at the same time, we were like, that's your bad.
That's and long story short, did he get it back?
No.
Oh.
But here's the craziest part. You're an Android user.
Yes.
You know Samsungs.
Yes.
Apparently, whenever you have like Samsung pods or the watch, it auto pairs or it connects, right? Whenever it's around.
Yeah.
So as we were doing the fucking tour of the pyramids,
it connected.
It kept connecting, unpairing.
So
pairing,
it was
unpairing.
Nearby.
Yeah. And he ended up just ditching the group completely and was off trying to look at like the little kids. Pause, not like that. He's trying to look at all the vendors. All the people just walking around because he was like, dude, my phone is in the vicinity. Mm-hmm. I could hear it in my headphones. And poor guy, like,
he has the watch.
He had the watch, but he left it back because it died.
Oh,
I know, bro. I because you can make it ping, right?
Yeah, you can literally do this. Look, my phone's right here in my lap.
Okay.
And I have my watch on right now. And if I hit this and I hit start.
Is it gonna?
It makes that sound.
And you can't stop that, right?
Unless you swipe it.
Okay.
But no matter what, it's going to play a sound.
So he was trying to figure out if there was a way to do that from his earbuds.
No.
Couldn't do that. So he lost his phone on the trip.
Yeah. Speaking of earbuds, mine were acting up. And I think it was because of the altitude.
Yeah.
Not on ground. In a plane. Both times going there and back in the plane.
Yeah.
They would like go... like when... it was silent. So, like, when I'd watch a movie and there was a quiet scene, it would, like, make a high-pitched ringing sound.
Oh, you know what? That happens to mine, but when I use the noise cancellation filter.
Yeah, they're noise canceling. Yeah.
Oh, so then that's why. That usually kind of happens sometimes. I hear that little blip.
But it's, like, screeching at some points.
Yeah, like, whenever you shift it for a second, right, it's like...
no, it, like, stays.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, okay, so that happened... and then later on in the week, poor guy, stubbed his toe going into the pool by the swim bar.
Did he break it?
Dude, he fractured his shit just like
see,
I did.
I was about to say, I hit my toe on so much in my house, but I'm surprised I never break it.
Hey, dude, it's very fragile, and you would think else, like otherwise.
I've hit the shit out of my toe sometimes, and I'm like it hurts like a B word, but... I don't know. It's always fine. Like, I always just walk it off, give it, like, a minute, and it goes away.
So, that had happened. My friend Manny, who you know.
Yes.
Fourth day there, his phone started resetting because of an update that the iOS feature had.
Well, I had an update while I was on vacation, too.
And I think it was because he was out of the country when he was doing the reset slash, like, update.
Uh-huh.
Wiped out his phone completely. Did not...
Made it like a brand new iPhone?
No, like in the sense that every time he would try to use it or charge it or try to turn it on, it would just say support Apple. Support Apple with a little Mac.
How you all feeling now, you Apple followers? You brainwashed Apple users?
I ain't got a problem. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, isn't that phone like fairly new?
His?
No, yours.
Oh, mine. Well, okay. That's different
circumstances. Yeah, give it 2 years. And then Apple's going to start... going in your phone with updates, and they're going to make it unusable.
You know, it's crazy. That did happen when I had my iPhone 8. I don't know if it happened with the old Galaxies, because I remember my buddy had a Galaxy. I think it was like an S6 back in the day, and it got slow by the time the 7 or 8 came out.
Mine's still going strong.
What do you got?
The 23 Ultra.
Jesus.
Yep.
I love how Samson just goes through the numbers.
Yeah, they don't just go 810.
They don't go 810 or XR or any other shit.
But besides that, I mean, anything else of significance from Mexico?
Anything else of significance? I think I talked about it. Oh, you know what? I did not. This was after the podcast. I got recognized by the workers there.
Really?
So in the resort, keep in mind, the resort, huge. When I mean huge, I mean you wait for golf carts to pass by every like 10, 15 minutes.
Jeez.
So everything's a little drive, I guess would be a better word for it.
Uh-huh.
And two of the nights that I was kicking it there, I made friends with a random couple and we're just kicking it. And as I was leaving, it was like 1:30-ish in the morning, 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, scratch that. It was like 12.
Yeah.
I'm leaving the area, the little sports bar that's there, and I got picked up by one of the workers. We talked all night.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up just staying on the little tram while he was giving everybody rides. And mm-hmm. It was cool as hell. And the next day, I asked one of his coworkers, and his coworker stopped me. He looked like he wanted to ask me something, and then he drove off because he needed to take the group that he was leading towards the lobby.
Yep.
Later on in the night, I'm waiting for that previous worker that I was hanging out with.
Mm-hmm.
This guy from earlier comes back and he's like, oh, get on. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, just take me to the sports bar. As we're driving, immediately cuts the conversation and goes, hey, I got to ask. I'm on Instagram. Are you a YouTuber? And I was like, I start smiling a bit. I'm like, I mean, yeah, like I'm a YouTuber. Like, how do you know? What have you seen? Immediately, he's like, oh, yeah, you came up on Instagram with your dog and your Honda Civic. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, he got me down to the car and the dog, bro.
So did he even know, like, the pod or softball? Or did he just, like, pop up on his Explore page?
I think I might have just popped up on his Explore page. And what's crazy is that when I had landed on Wednesday and I had gotten to the resort, he said that he saw me Thursday, Friday with my glasses on, but he couldn't recognize me.
Okay.
Until that earlier that day, he's like, yeah, you were asking for Fabian and you didn't have any, you had just your Nikes on. I remember your Nikes. And I was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, he's got me down to the tit. And from there on, made great friends with the guy. His name is Armando.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome guy. He actually told me, too. He's like, I'm from Playa del Carmen. If you ever come back, you need a tour guide. You just want to have fun down here, you let me know.
Did you get a way to contact him?
Oh, yeah. I got his IG.
Okay.
Funniest shit, too, because he's like, yeah, that's the picture I saw.
Interesting.
It's insane how the internet
works.
How
do you know
me?
Instagram Explore.
Instagram Explore, dude. Here you go. Like, do you watch the videos, the pod? Like, I don't even think he knows that we play in Dodger Films.
It doesn't sound like it.
It just straight up was like, I'm Alejandro from Instagram. How are you?
That's so odd. But cool.
It was, you know what? It was very cool. It was very cool because I saw, I don't hope this doesn't sound racist, I saw a lot of white people over there. A lot of them had Dodger hats.
What do you expect?
If
white people are going to Mexico, they're going to the beach cities.
Of course, they're getting away from whatever cold.
And I am white. Trust me, I know what my fellow white people are doing.
And I kept seeing a bunch of just like baseball gear from a lot of the kids, some of the parents, and I was just kind of like wondering, am I going to get recognized? I don't think so. And sure enough, the last night before, got recognized. But great people. Highly recommend that resort. It's called Bahia Príncipe. I'm trying to think of the direct translation, but Príncipe is Prince. Maybe Prince of the Bay.
Maybe.
It would be a direct translation.
Could be.
But overall, you know what? It was a hot one, too. It was a scorcher. The whole week we ended up being there was technically, I think, the hottest week recorded in Mexico so far.
This year or all time?
I think this year. With humidity at 100%. So yikes. Imagine Houston, but legit like one of, like hotter than Houston.
Ew.
Disgusting. But the water was warm and the pools were warm. The drinks were a little warm.
Ew.
But, yeah, I know. But overall, great time. Highly recommend it. Get out your comfort zone, guys. Go do some random shit, whether you're in the beaches of Mexico or in the Appalachian Mountains or the Colorado Rockies like this young guy.
Yes, and I'm going to go on and on and on now about Colorado.
Go ahead.
So we left about 4 days ago for that trip. Landed in Denver, of course, their giant secret Illuminati airport.
Illuminati. Which,
I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but just type that in. Type in Denver Airport Illuminati.
Apparently there's a lot of back rooms there.
You'll find a rabbit hole. You'll be stuck in it for a while, trust me. Anyways, we ran into madness pretty much immediately on this trip. So we both had rental cars. There were about like six of us that landed. Four of us went in one. Or no, seven. Four of us went in one. Three went in the other. And the three got their car like that. We landed probably at like 11. We didn't get our car till like 2 a.m. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, apparently the day before, a hailstorm hit and wiped out 40% of their cars.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So they were like, oh, we have to go test all of them, make sure they're good to go. And I'm like, does that take 3 hours?
Dude, that's insane. Just, no, they for sure got like other rental cars.
I'm like, can you just go in there, put the key in, if it turns on, give us the car? Like,
what was it, a Hertz? A six?
Hertz. Yeah.
Hertz, bringing it down.
And then they were
an enterprise guy.
After, no, the funniest thing too. The lady comes up to us. This is right around that 3 hour mark. Yeah. She's like, you guys can either come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. or you can just keep waiting it out. And we're like, okay, well, we're staying 2 hours away, so we kind of need it. Like, we'll wait it out.
The coming back tomorrow was fucking crazy.
Yeah, that would have been 7 hours later. And so we're like, yeah, we'll just wait it out. And then this other guy, dude, like so many people were waiting. This other guy, we're like debating if we should Uber Eats McDonald's to the Hertz and if it's even possible. And so we're like mid debating this. And then they go, Matthew, and that's my friend who we're there for. And we're like, oh, and then the guy like mid, like the other guy who's waiting and is like trying to explain to us if Uber would work.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, we hope you get yours soon. And then we just were like, thank God. So we get out of there at like 2:18 a.m. We got a Hyundai Santa Fe.
Right on.
And drove that to Alma, Colorado, 2 hours away. And beautiful place. Gorgeous. However, I was not made aware. I did not look at any pictures before the trip.
Yeah.
I could not see anything when we got there because it was 4 a.m. So I didn't know what the surrounding area was like. I just got in the house, put my stuff down, and went to bed.
That's fair, though, because, I mean, waiting that long for a rental car is insane.
Yeah, so I woke up the next morning, and I go upstairs, and I look outside, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is where we're staying? Breathtaking.
Yeah?
Amazing. Like, in the middle of the mountains, flat green all around.
Were you up elevated, or were you
We were like 10,000 feet up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it a little mountain town?
Yeah, Alma. Yeah, little small mountain town. The that town and the surrounding ones is what South Park is based off of.
Oh, I would have loved it.
Yeah, so that's the inspiration for South Park.
Dude, holy shit.
But like I said, we were 10,000 feet up in the air, which made sleeping not fun the first night. I've never had altitude affect me, but I could not breathe. Like, really? I had to teach, I had to, like, tell myself, I had to think, breathe.
What the?
Like, you know, everyone listening, you just breathe naturally.
Of course.
You don't think about it. It was at a point where it was so heavy and so short to where I was like, okay, breathe in, out.
Like, oh, my goodness.
And eventually I fell asleep. And thank goodness one of our saints on this trip, Caleb, basically a pharmacist, came with like everything we would need for this, and he had altitude sickness medicine that did wonders. So you get it. I looked up immediately because I was worried. I was like, okay, why can I not breathe? And it said you will adjust to it in 24 to 36 hours as long as you stay in that altitude, which that next morning I was going 5,000 feet down to Denver.
I was about to say, you just
so I was like, great, so I'm not going to adjust. So he gave me altitude sickness medicine. That did help. And it said drink water. And I was like, oh, I have a water right next to me. And I chugged that thing. And that basically helped me go to sleep before I got the medicine. And then that morning, we went to a Rockies game, my friend Bobby and I, not Crosby. And that was kind of sprung on us in a obviously very great way. We were not expecting it. I was on the phone with Tony Todd like the day before I flew. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to Denver. And he's like, oh, you're going to Denver? Well, get your field passes. I know Michael Toglia, who's utility guy for the Rockies.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I'm not going to say no.
Of course.
And then, you know, time kept going, and he was like, all right, he got him. And I was like, all right, well, can you please tell him? Because me and Tony have had times where we pull up and they're like, oh, we don't have your name here. And then eventually we get it fixed. But I was like, can you please, 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 please tell him we're coming from 2 hours away. So just make sure they're there, please.
Yeah.
And we pulled up. They were right there. And I found them before the guy found them. I went into the area where you get them, and he's like, oh, you guys here for field passes? I'm like, yep. And he's like, name? I'm like, oh, Austin Kleschka. And he's like, looking. And I'm like, it's right there. And he's like, where? And I'm like, right there. He's like, oh, yeah, there you are. And then we got in. We got down there. We were talking it up. We got three Rockies players.
Dope.
I think the first one was Ezequiel Tovar, and I used Spanish completely. No English.
Wow, look at
and
you.
And got his picture. It was very simple Spanish. He was over talking with some friends, I think.
Yeah.
And as soon as he wrapped it up, I was like, Ezequiel, why am I blanking right now? It's the pressure right now trying to remember it.
It's the pressure of remembering and performing.
I said, una foto, por favor. And he was like, sí. And then we took it. And I was like, para mi amigo, también. He's like, sí. And then we swapped. And then I was just like, gracias. He was like, de nada. And then he walked away.
Dope.
So I was like, all right. It may have not been perfect. Is there a different way to say that properly?
I mean, not really.
Can I take a picture?
You're pretty respectful. Like, una foto, por favor. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say, can I? I just said, a photo, please. How would you say, can I take a photo?
Puedo tomar
un foto.
Un foto contigo.
All right. If I wanted to do it the proper way next time.
That's not bad.
I knew it would work. I was like, un foto, and then por favor, please. I knew it would work. And then, so we got one with him, and then Toglia came over. He was originally batting, and then I yelled. I was like, Michael! And he looked, and we've never met, by the way. So we're both strangers to each other. We just both know Tony Todd. And so I was like, we're Tony's guys. And he's like, oh, glad you guys made it. And then he went into the dugout. I was like, oh, he's not going to say hi?
That was
and then Bobby saw him go back out to do fielding drills. I was like, oh, okay. Well, we got a second opportunity then. So he finishes fielding, and I just kind of put my hand up in the air, and then he put his stuff down, and he came over, and we were chatting it up, and he's like, glad you guys made it out. So how do you know Tony? And I told him our whole story from the 22 All-Star game, and then he told me how he knows Tony. He's like, oh, just this guy just kept showing up at UCLA games, and he got to talking. I'm like, yeah, sounds like Tony Todd. And Tony's always looking for the next big thing at colleges, whether it be UCLA, UC Irvine. He knows how to find the talent.
Yeah.
And he stays in touch with them, and he's able to hook it up for Bobby and I. So thank you to both of you. And then the last guy we met on the Rockies was, well, actually, I've met him before, Brenton Doyle, Gold Glove winner from last year. Interviewed him, got to meet him there, and he wasn't out there for any of it, fielding, batting, but he did come up to grab some t-shirts from some friends, I assume, or a company that wanted to give them to him. I was like, oh, I wonder if he'll remember me. And then I was like, hey, Brenton, you remember Gold Gloves? We interviewed you. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he came over, and he's like, what are you guys doing out here? And I told him why we were there, which we were there, by the way, because my friend Matt graduated from the Fire Academy. He wanted to do like a big trip with all the homies. So that's why we went out there, told him that, just caught up. And yeah, that was cool that he remembered. So I loved that. And then they were playing the Pirates. We got zero Pirates. Not able to grab one. But
did you go like in Rockies gear at all?
So I brought a Rockies hat.
That might have been the doer.
But as soon as the Pirates came out, I took it off. So I was just wearing a black, plain black shirt.
Yeah.
And gray pants.
I can imagine you just like,
yeah,
Pirates.
Yeah. Well, I had it on for like a tiny bit, not long enough for them to notice. And then I was like, oh, I should probably take this off now. And I put it on my back. So I was just dressed neutral.
Yeah.
But the Pirates dugout was on the other side of where we were. And Pirates fans like stole that corner. Like,
okay.
There was no room.
Damn.
And so I was like, okay, well. The good thing was nobody was being vocal. Like when I'm on the field with the Angels,
yeah,
people are vocal. They'll try, and the players are usually more lenient. They'll talk to you. They'll come over. They'll sign. They'll take a picture. And nobody at that Rockies game was like speaking up. So it was like, that's how I got Toglia, Doyle, Tovar. Like I just was like, hey, like, can we get a photo? Do this. Do you remember me? Blah, blah, blah. Nice to meet you. Like, I made my voice clear. And nobody else really did. And so I was like, well, if people just keep staying silent like this, like, we're going to be set. Like, we're going to be good. And there were a few people I would have loved to talk to on the Pirates. Paul Skeens, obviously, did not see him at all.
Yeah.
O'Neill Cruz, he came up to warm up by the foul pole. Never saw him again after that. Who else? Brian Reynolds was in the cages. Tried to get his attention.
Nothing.
McCutcheon did sign for all the Pirates fans in the corner that were on the other side. I tried to get him. I was like, hey, Kutch. He just pretty much did that corner and then left. Mitch Keller, pitcher for the Pirates. This one I was like, come on. Aww. He came over, and I assume this was family. He was talking to, like, grandpa, grandma, mom, dad, I assume. And they were all going to take a picture, but one of them was left out taking the picture. So I was like, hey, do you want me to take one of all of you? And she was like, yes. And then I take it. And I give it back, and then he, like, looks over, and he's like, thank you, man, thank you. And I was like, yeah, no problem. And they keep talking for, like, a minute, and then he's like, all right, nice to see all of you. And then I was like, hey, Mitch, and he just did not even look my way. I was like,
just bolted off.
I was like, come on, man, I got you the family picture. Come on, and whatever. I'm not going to hang that over his head forever, but I was a little disappointed. I was like, man, it was, like, this close, probably closer. Like, he was probably, like, right here. And I was like, come on, dude. Not even a head turn.
Nada.
Like,
nothing.
Just a turn and run away. I was like, whatever.
Oh, Doyle.
Yeah. No, not Doyle.
Doyle.
Mitch Keller.
Blonde moment there.
Yeah. Wrong team also. But yeah, it was cool to check off another field to be on. I think that's my third one now. Angels, Rangers, Rockies. So always love doing that. Once again, thank you, Tony Todd. Thank you, Michael Toglia. Really appreciated that, and was really great getting to know you, Toglia. And I think the presence of us being there must have done something for the Rockies, because it was the best game they've played all year. And I'm very confident in that, because I saw an Instagram post that said season high, 16 runs. That's right, 16 runs.
To be fair, 16-4 is an outrageous baseball That's a baseball score?
Mm-hmm. And with it saying season high, that has to mean it was their best game of the year.
Yeah.
And wow, the amount of things we saw at this game. First
knock
of all,
down, knock them down.
This one, I was so stoked. I love checking off, like, small things to see at baseball games, or like things that, like, you see and you're like, oh, that's something that doesn't happen all the time. Obviously, no hitters, a fan running on the field, an animal running on the field.
Pujols home run, 600
milestones.
Yeah.
And another one happened at that Rockies game. Whether you don't see every game, but when they happen, oh, it's just amazing that you were there to witness it. Saw somebody steal home, and it was Ryan McMahon.
Successfully, too, right?
The most successful steal of home I think I've ever seen in my life. Standing up. He didn't have to slide or anything.
Just ran in.
So it was one of those ones where the catcher gets it and throws it back, and right at release, he takes off. But the catcher, like, lofted it like a rainbow. Oh. And it was to the point, like, Ryan McMahon timed it perfectly. Literally, when he let go, he took off, and Jared Jones was the pitcher that day, and Jared Jones was, like, waiting for it to come down. He's like, he was, like, hopping, like, come on, like, can this thing fall any slower? And by the time he caught it, Ryan McMahon had already crossed home and gone into the dugout, and he was just like, he did, like, a pump fake because he knew he wasn't going to get him, and he was like, damn it. Like, the catcher, like, rainbowed this thing. I was like, and I was just locked in. Like, I wasn't, like, watching the game because it was just a strike. So, like, there wasn't any action. But I was looking at the field, and then I just see Ryan McMahon at third just go. And I'm like, oh! I was like, he's stealing home. And Bobby wasn't paying attention. And Bobby turned his head really fast. And I was like, he just stole home. I was like, that counts as a stolen base, right? And he's like, yeah. And then they put up on the big screen, it was his first stolen base of the season. And I was like, oh, yeah, we just saw somebody steal home. That's freaking epic. So now I can check that off with all those things that you're just grateful to see at a baseball game that don't happen every game.
Dude, that's so sick. That's so awesome.
And another one of those things that I still haven't seen, and I hope I will see one day, a cycle. I have not seen a cycle. I want to see a cycle so bad. The closest it's ever come for me is Shohei Ohtani last year. Needed a home run for the cycle. He missed it by like 5 feet, maybe. He just got under it. And then this game, Hunter Goodman, who I will admit I had never heard of before this game, must have loved our presence. He had four hits.
Yeah.
Two of them were homers.
Oh.
And then double single. That second home run, he hit that, and me and Bobby were like, oh my God, because he just needed the triple. And they had that high wall in right center. So yeah. I was like, oh my God, it could happen. And I was like, I don't know how fast Hunter Goodman is, but this could happen. And it clears the center field wall by like this much.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, it was like two homer game, cool. But like in this one moment, I wish you were just a little weaker.
You hater. You're such a hater.
Dude, he would have got a cycle.
I know he would have got a cycle. That would have been even more.
I'm proud for him either way. Cycle, two homer game, career game, I think. I mean, like I said, I hadn't heard of you until this point. But now I will never forget your name, Hunter Goodman.
Him running the bases and getting back. Fuck!
I mean, dude. Ah! Literally, me and Bob, because it was to the point where we were like, oh, and then it just barely cleared the wall. And we were like, oh, cool, but damn it. Like, because you want to see history. Like, yeah. A cycle, like I said, it's like one of the last things that you don't see at every baseball game that I haven't seen. I've seen so many oddities and cool things happen.
I was about to say, you did see the walk-off grand slam.
I've seen a walk-off Pirates. Grand slam. Pirates, yeah. Yes. I've seen just walk-offs in general. I've seen no hitters. I've seen animals on the field, fans on the field. I've seen a lights go out at a stadium.
Streakers?
No streaker. Nobody really streaks anymore.
You haven't seen a streaker?
Nobody really streaks completely naked.
Well, yeah, nobody now.
Yeah, I've seen a guy with a shirt off.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call that a streaker. I call a streaker somebody who's running out there butt naked, ready to hop on a horse and go.
Okay, yeah, there has not been a streaker in a minute.
Yeah, but let us know in the comments, what are those rare moments of baseball games that you would like to see?
Or that you have seen.
Go ahead and flex a little bit in the comments. And if you've seen a cycle, I'm very jealous of you.
Let it hang, guys. Let it hang.
Yeah, but he had a great game. Michael Toglia, the guy who got us the passes, hit a grand slam. And I was like, hey, I immediately called Tony after the game. And I said, I think we need permanent seats at this game, at this stadium. And he's like, why? I'm like, have you seen the score? He's like, what is it? I'm like, dude, they're beating them 16-4. It's four times their score right now. And he's like, oh. And I was like, dude. I was like, Toglia just homered. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, yeah, you guys need like a residence there. And I was like, yeah. I don't know what juju we brought from California, but they love it.
The good vibes that you brought.
Yeah, we're fully dived into it. So that was an amazing game. Tons of fun. The next day after that, you know, and that was a very fun time, but like I said, we were staying 2 hours away from Denver, so it was 2 hours to drive there and 2 hours to drive back.
A little bummy.
Yeah, and the next day we wake up, and they were saying, like, because we rented our own car outside of the one from Hertz just to do that, and then they were saying, oh, if we go and drop off your car with you, we'll go on the hike right after, and we had to drop it off at 10:30, and I was like, if you all are planning on doing that, I'm not going on the hike because I'm going to be dead having to drop off the car, which was 40 minutes away, and then go back or then immediately do a hike. I'm like,
that's not too bad, though, dropping off a car.
Yeah, but then, first of all, you know me. I don't like waking up that early.
We've known.
Second of all, dropping it off and then doing the hike right after, I'm like, it
doesn't seem that bad. I see the 40 minutes as an inconvenience.
I also drove both times. I drove the 2 hours to the Rockies game and the 2 hours back.
Nobody wanted to drive?
Well, the car was under me, so. So I was like dead from the driving, and dude, that drive back was like, oh, can we get there already? And then, yeah, I had to wake up like 6 hours later, drop the other car off, and I was like, look, if we drop it off, come back, chill for like an hour, just let me like relax for a little bit, I will go on the hike, which we did. Thank you to all of you, because I don't know who changed their mind, because I told that to one of them, and then that's what happened. So I'm assuming they told the rest of the group. Yeah. But the hike was well worth it. We were already at 10,000 feet at our place, drove to the start of the hike, which was 11,500 feet, and the hike was up 500 more feet. So we're talking like 12,000 something feet.
Beautiful.
And like I said, that air gets thin the higher you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Were you huffing and puffing?
I surprisingly did very well. I was fifth among like 10 of us probably. And the group basically got split in half. So I had the group that was ahead and I was in the back of the group that was ahead. But then the other half was like way back.
Yeah.
And it was definitely one that took the breath out of me. But once I got to the top, I got that breath back. Another breathtaking view.
I was about to say, you would have been X'd out of breath.
Yeah, pretty much. But there was this one part where we had to cross. So basically the mountain's like this, right?
Yeah.
And we had to, it was snow the whole way down. The path just stopped and it was snow.
Damn.
On a slanted mountain. And I'm like, dude.
That's not terrifying at all.
Yeah, exactly. One slip on ice, snow, you're going down. And I'm like, this is what we're doing right now? And then one of the girls who was with us was ahead because she's more athletic and more fit than I am. And she's like, if I can do it, then you can do it. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. But like, you can't look at that and tell me one slip and you're rolling down a mountain. And I'm like, here we go. And so I did in these, by the way.
Beautiful.
This is just more proof that Adidas NMDs are like the shit because
Let me see the grip on the bottom, though.
I slipped twice.
Yeah.
Before the tough part, surprisingly. They were both at the very beginning. But look at these. These went on a mountain hike. And they don't even look like they were like...
They don't look grippy at all.
No. Okay, grippy, no. But do they look...
Look, I believe they're comfortable.
Do they look like they went on a hike in a mountain?
A little bit.
Like, oh, they were worn before.
Yeah, but they just look worn. That's all it is. Right? But I'd be surprised if I see you with those. I'd be surprised if I see you with those and not like Eddie Bauer's. Oh, Ayo Mark II. That one, I think.
But yeah, they don't even look dirty. And this was a mountain hike with mud, dirt, ice, snow. So shout out to
like you went through all four seasons, bro.
Yeah, a little bit. Got up to the top and I was kind of surprised because we waited for the second half to catch up and they caught up and they were like, all right, cool. And then we started going down. And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. I'm like, you guys don't want to like take it in for a second. You just got here.
Don't want to just sit. Oh, don't want to just sit here.
And now they're like, okay, ready to go. And I'm like, nobody, you guys just got here. Like we've been looking because we've been waiting for you guys.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I was like, okay, fine. I was like, I got all the views. I got everything I needed. And then, yeah, we went down, and I think, oh, that was the day, like, where we partied. I didn't get too drunk or anything like that. I didn't even get buzzed, really, at all. We played some games. I played Loteria for the first time.
Oh, did you win?
I won once. No, well, twice. One of them, I tied with, like, two others. Like, yeah. We both cleared our cards at the same time. And then the other one, I won by myself.
Nice.
And then it got to a point where the two girls that brought it kept winning so much. And we were doing one shot every time you won. So it was like, you didn't want to win. You were like, please don't call my card. Please don't call my card. And they kept winning. And they're like, okay, if we win now, everybody has to take one. And they won three times in a row after that. And I was I was like, okay, you brought the game. What'd you do to your card? Why do you keep winning? But yeah, it was fun. Simple game.
Oh yeah, there's no brains at all with it. It's you see the card, you put a bean.
Played Loteria first time, a lot of fun. Had three people swipe up on my story and were like, "Huh?" Art, yeah. Lo Kirsch, and this girl Fabiola, that's a friend of mine, and they just were all like, couldn't believe it. They were like, why are you playing Loteria?" And I'm like, "Hey, they brought it."
It's a fun game though, isn't it?
It's simple. It's super simple, like we said. And then, yeah, we all had a good time that night. We went to bed. The next day, we went to this place called Meow Wolf. Have you ever heard of it?
Meow Wolf?
Meow Wolf.
No, never heard of her.
So, without looking at the notes, what would you think a place called Meow Wolf is?
That sounds like a spot where furries get their costumes from.
That's a good answer. That's
exactly what it sounds like. A bunch of furries shopping for their stuff.
Yeah, but no, it was this... Honestly, the only way I can describe it is the way it was described to me. It's like going to another planet.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's an immersive walkthrough museum, but it's not really a museum because you don't know any of the stuff. Like, they're not, like, giving you war papers from 1812 or something.
So it's kind of like the walkthrough immersive experience, I guess, you had in Japan.
Yeah, but this was more of, like, they made different rooms, different planets.
That's
like
sick.
That place was the place in Japan was like cool Instagrammy rooms. This place, like the three rooms, there was like a space street kind of thing, I guess. Like, okay, you know the floating head in Guardians of the Galaxy where they all live?
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that. Like I was walking through that. And so that was the first one. The second one was like a space jungle, which is kind of cool. They had this room, and everywhere there, and you don't know where you could find them, there's Easter eggs, and oh, you wow. could, like, do things. So this one room in the space jungle had just all these seats in a circle with walls between all the seats, and if everybody put their hand on the crystal in the room, then they would all, like, and, like, do light tricks and stuff.
Oh, what the hell?
And then the last room was like this castle room, and Matt knew this Easter egg, but he didn't complete it all the way.
Yeah.
And we can't, and you sit in this like throne chair and you control these like lights on the ceiling. And if you put them in a certain way, the whole castle goes like black and then it just goes crazy with like colors. And so he didn't finish it. We left, came back later, and somebody finished it. And the whole sky when like you were being transported into another galaxy and the castle was going like changing colors and stuff.
Damn.
These kids came in and pulled these levers in the castle and it like made the whole castle go into like a power outage and then just went like it was weird.
I hope I can see that.
So cool, but weird. Oh yeah. I got footage of that for sure. Yeah. But it was such an experience, I guess. I mean, it was really cool, but it's not based off anything. Like, everything there is just stuff Meow Wolf made. So, like, you're not, like, pulling from, like, shows or movies or books or...
The first, like, original place you've been where you're like, what the hell?
I didn't know what to expect, and there were so many rooms.
It sounds like you're still confused, which I don't blame you.
I am. I am. I don't know what I really saw.
You saw the power edge, you're like, what does this mean?
Yeah. I mean... It was a crazy experience, and they have a few all over the U.S.
Yes.
One coming to California, not in California yet. You would think with how everybody views California.
Not even that. Just you would think we'd have it down with movie effects over here.
Something. I think there's Denver. There's Las Vegas.
Yeah.
New Mexico. Because I think that's where it started. And then a few other places, but look if you have a Meow Wolf near you. It's quite an interesting, fun thing to do with your friends. Yeah.
bit random, but you mentioned Vegas earlier. Did you see that Universal's bringing Horror Nights to Vegas?
How?
I don't know. I think they're doing the same thing, like an immersive event.
Like a pop-up?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be the only way. They don't have a Universal out there.
They're doing it. Yeah, Universal's doing it over there in Vegas. I don't have too much detail on what exactly it is. I know Shorts is probably all over it, though.
Yeah, most likely. Shorts loves Horror Nights.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And then we also did this like indoor mini golf thing later that day.
Ooh.
It was cool, but honestly, it was way too short. It only took us like 20 minutes to do all the holes. Yeah.
That's small.
Yeah.
Even the old boomers was like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, dude, they were literally like maybe.
What was it like here to here? That's one.
The size of this office.
Had like three of them?
Like,
four?
No. Like nine.
What?
Yeah. What maybe like 5 feet more around each wall.
Oh, dude, that's so wet.
Like, yeah, it was tiny. And I was like, they're like, oh, we're good. Because they had like different rooms. And it said, oh, your group is assigned to the Amber Room, which is the one you can see when you walk in. I was like, oh, so the one we've been looking at the whole time? I'm like, wait, all the holes are in this? I'm like, it's so small. But yeah, it was cool. I just wish it would have taken more time. Yeah. But that was the last thing we did that day. And then we're here today. So that was our flight at like 6 something, which another thing whack with Frontier, besides making them charge me for a freaking bag. We never got a gate like on the app. So we're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And we have our boarding time. So we're like, okay, let's go. And we were in a lounge. So they have like a, not, you know how they have like the giant boards with all the flights?
Yeah.
They had one in the lounge with like just one TV and for upcoming flights, like soon flights. So we're like, okay, we should be on that board by now. And so Bobby went on like Google Flight Tracker to see if our plane has arrived and it had a gate. So we're like, okay, let's just go to that gate. And then everyone was there like normal. And we're like, okay, how do you all know? Like, we never, even to the point of walking up to the gate,
yeah,
got our gate on the app. And no update, no notification, no nothing. And the only way we found out was Bobby looking it up. And to confirm, we did go look for one of the huge boards with all the flights. And our flight was on there. But we're like, dude, the app, like, not one update.
I don't think I used the app, but when I worked at the airport, I do remember people having problems with it. Like, I do remember people being like, I have no gate. It doesn't show my boarding pass. It doesn't show my pass. And I'm just like, bro, you downloaded the app. I had customers telling me I use the website because the app sucks.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't blame them. I mean, I'm surprised to hear they haven't fixed it.
No, yeah. It was whack. And then this morning, I was trying to get my boarding pass just to make sure. And it just wouldn't come up. And then I saw, because I went to the email, like, oh, check in for your flight. Yeah. It said, oh, by the way, there's going to be maintenance from this time. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you can go get your physical boarding pass because of the maintenance. But, like, in this generation, I can't imagine how many people were freaking out this for that morning maintenance.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, it's not loading. Like, I swear I have a plane. Like, my boarding pass is on here, but it's not loading. And they're like, why don't you go get a physical one over there? And for the first time, you probably saw these because you worked at the airport. So you know when you go through a metal detector, you do this, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any other way besides like, oh, if you have a child come through the one that's so, like old school?
Yes. Funny enough, it happened to me in Mexico. I went through the metal detector. It beeped. I did hands up.
Yeah.
And then after that, I actually did like hands here.
Same. We did that on the way out.
So I did this when I was in Mexico. I did this when I was here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Now, random as shit, but when I had beeped on the way to Mexico, you know how on the computer it shows you like what the area is that they have to inspect? Bro, tell me why my balls were hot. My balls were red, brother. They were red. And the guy was like, look at him. He's like, no, just go. He's like, just go. And then in Mexico, same thing. They went like this, but that's on me because I forgot this thing is metal.
Yeah.
So I went and the guy was like, go, you're good.
Yeah, I went like that. Or they had it like that where and the guy was like, all right, pretend like you're in a Western standoff. And I was like, it's always like this. Yeah. Every flight I've done. And then I saw we saw it as we were in line. We're like, we're putting our hands down. I'm like, I've never seen this one before. But yeah, different. And now we're both back. We're settled. I'm not going anywhere till August.
I don't think I'm going anywhere.
You almost told me you almost went to Colorado on a whim.
I almost did.
So who knows? We might just go somewhere on a whim.
I think we should go to Vegas on a whim. That's a reasonable one. Come on, our flight. We can be hooligans the whole night and then just fly back in the morning.
What you should do is get your flight for Cleveland.
I know.
You're the only one left.
I know. I was talking to the friend that's going, and we're going to lock shit in soon.
Okay. It's coming up.
Oh, I know. I'm one of those people that I want to see if the deal pops up last minute. And if it doesn't, here's then what I played myself.
I track the flights, and if it tells me a price that I'm like, okay, that's good, then I just buy it. I'm like, all right, that's good enough.
What? Do your little plug. What app do you like using? Do you use Expedia?
I don't know. Travelocity? I just go on Google, and then it says, do you want to track this flight?
Google.
And then you just track it.
Smart.
I need to turn it off because I've already bought my flight and it keeps sending me ones and I'm like, oh, it's that much now? Cool.
Oh, well, that's a great idea.
Yeah, track the flight. that's what I did for that and Tampa, and then I keep getting those emails. But we're going to be back on track, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for watching, listening to episode number 73. We are going to have a good old time in episode 74. And we're both back, ready to go. And I can tell from the start of this episode to the end of this episode how much more tired Mobo has gotten.
Yeah, dude. I just worked today, and I'm a little, like, low energy. But
that,
we're doing
that didn't
good.
Wake you up?
A little bit. It's a sugar crash.
But yeah. All right. See you next time.
Well,
what?
We didn't do the plug.
What plug?
Thursdays? Friday?
Oh, Thursday audio. That's when the audio comes out. Apple, Spotify, 2 p.m. Thursdays.
Fridays, ladies and gentlemen, YouTube videos are up. So make sure you like, subscribe, turn on notification bells. Tell everybody you know.
Okay.
We'll see you next time.
Now you can go. All right. Bye.
Bye.